שלום לכם, תודה שאתם איתנו.
Hello, thank you for being with us. We're here with the New Life Educational Series with Dr. Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Today, you're welcome to join us on a journey. We're going back to the Garden of Eden. This series is called New Life, and that means the good life. Each of us, we have this image of the Garden of Eden. We have aspirations to reach a certain state, but we don't manage to reach them. Today, we want to learn the story of creation to understand how here and now I can transform my life to being good, no less than that. That I'll get up in the morning with a great light in my eyes. My kids, the people around me, we want to live in the Garden of Eden. No less and no more. Be with us. We hope we'll learn how to do it. To take it from a dream to reality. Nitza, get us into the story of the Garden of Eden. When we look at the process of creation of the world, we see that there was some process. It started on the first day, let there be light. God differentiated between light and darkness, the next day between heaven and the water. The third day between he created land and plants, the next day the moon, the stars, and then he created the birds and the fish. On the sixth day, the rest of the animals and man. Today we want to look at this story that we've been learning in so many. We learn actually in the whole world the story of creation. It's a very, every person who learns it, even in school or whether it's in some other manner, we relate to this story as a story, but today we want to relate to it actually from another place, from a place of our interconnected life, that we're all connected and dependent on one another. We want to understand this story only for one simple reason. We want to live well. We want to go back to the Garden of Eden. We understand that we got thrown out of there. We did something wrong. We didn't understand the rules. Until today, we still don't really understand the laws, and we want to look at the story through those eyes. So maybe the first question, what can we learn from the story of creation through the special approach that you're teaching us? The story of creation is a true story, but we need to understand that it's presented to us as a story. But in itself, it's a correct story. That in six phases, nature developed in six stages, and in that same process, like it says in the story, and in this process, all of nature developed in a manner that it entirely developed through a single upper force that's inside nature, the desire to bestow, to give, a positive desire. Whose desire? The desire, nature's desire. Yes, nature. Plus and minus exist in nature, so one force takes out and places against it the other force. And then there's development. All of creation started from there being two forces, plus and minus, you can call it, north and south, light and darkness, the earth and the skies. It's written because it comes from particles elementary particles until it reaches molecules that also have in them plus and minus, and everything's living and exists because it's one against the other, and also a connection between them. And above those molecules comes the force of life that connects plus and minus toward the purpose of development. And then for the sake of this development, plus and minus connect to more and more complex forms until they developed to various materials, gas, fluids, plasma, and the degrees of life, static, that has four parts in it, different types of gas, solid gas, plasma, and then the floral that also has its own 4 degrees. And onward, why four? Because the combination between two is four, plus and minus. When it comes together, it's four. And afterward, at the animate level, and that's how everything developed, from macro and also in micro. And since it developed through one force, nature, therefore this system, when it developed in complete harmony. The development was equal to all directions because the general power closed everything together. So this situation where everything is perfect and complementing one another, completing one another, there's no more, there's no less, none on account of the other. What we feel today and think today and how we look at the world in general, the beginning of creation is one simple harmony. Which is not simple. It fills complex bodies, but simple because they're all closed as one. They all exist as one. They're all dependent on one another. They all feel one another. They're all in one system. The only thing is that in this system, there is no part that feels itself that it exists in a special manner, and it has a special role in its life. And even though this situation can be called paradise or the Garden of Eden, it's not a perfect state. Because what's missing in nature to develop through this gradual development of the parts that are in perfection through a mutual connection, that all this will exist out of choice, out of a feeling of self-existence. Nature is entirely developing, and it wants to reach an independent and whole being. Perfection was there, completeness. That's perfection. Independence wasn't and exist at all. in any level of life, at any level, inanimate, vegetative, animate, and the human that was created last. What man was missing was disconnection from this system that he exists in. In order for him to verify, to feel, to research and decide that he is the opposite of the entire system, and this system will be as an example to him, will be as a home to him that he lives in. And through his efforts, he'll be able to receive from all of nature powers a plan to know the goal and reach it. And all this by himself. Nature continues to develop man toward that. But here we see a dual attitude toward this creation called man, that the powers of nature are developing him in order to awaken in him a feeling of independence, choice, decision, implementation from himself. In other words, the process is continuing. It's never ending in creating a person in the Garden of Eden. But rather, the process is always continuing onward, and it's entirely directed toward a person having to reach development from the sixth day that he was created. Let's call this degree, let's call this state the sixth day, as it is written. He needs to reach a state in which he truly is responsible, he's in charge, he understands and feels, and he's carrying out this entire Garden of Eden in which he was created. And the moment we reach this in the development of man, creation reaches its goal. Reaches its goal and its implementation. This is how nature, this is what nature determines. And we see that the development did not stop at the sixth day, in this situation that's called the sixth day, but rather continued onward with men. And you can say that all the other forms, of course there was development, we see according to history, there were dinosaurs, all kinds of creatures at all levels, inanimate, vegetative, animate. Just at the still level, it's very gradual, very long periods. The next degree is shorter periods, but still hundreds of millions of years. At the animal level, it's a more intensive period in development. And in human, at the human level, he's behind everyone. And the human, when he began to feel himself as a person, as a human, what do you mean when he began to feel himself? When he began to feel himself as a person, meaning that we, according to the story, we're talking about forces through which nature is creating all its creatures. But development is gradual development from these two forces, plus and minus, or giving and receiving, like in anything we have, that they're opposite to one another and connect to one another through this oppositeness. And the connection between them, in this and in this, they develop gradual development, and at the end of the day, live. When this development begins to receive inside it some kind of program of this integration of these forces, that they begin to develop inside them as vegetative and animate. And the same with man that began to develop. He came out of the monkey. He wasn't created like it says there in the story. But what do they want to say in that? That from these two forces, these two opposite forces, in this gradual development, from the first day, second, third day, fourth, fifth, sixth, a person was also created. Just like all the steps before him. And therefore, we have to look at ourselves that actually we are monkeys. There may have been many types of monkeys, and from a certain type of monkey, this creature developed onward, this monkey, and what happened in him? That in this monkey, and in general, in all of creation, in all the other creatures, began to develop a desire, to acquire, a desire to swallow, to gobble up. I have to be the owner, the landlord. I have to be more than everyone. And this form that dressed in man is actually the form of man, meaning the monkey that received this additional desire actually began to be a person. A person in our world that has an additional desire and a negative desire and an unbalanced desire, an egoistic desire, that wants to, at the end of the day, to not be managed by the force of nature, to be in balance with everyone through the natural instinctive forces operating in this creature, but rather this creature has an additional force that's pushing him to independent development. That through this force he's beginning to develop, he's beginning to want to build himself a special home, and each time more and more sophisticated, that animals don't have. He wants to control others and not just his flock, a few women and children, but rather he wants to control more and more monkeys. We're still talking as if it's the monkey developing. He wants to control a certain territory that's much larger than what he had previously when he was just a monkey. In other words, the desire, this negative desire that's developing now, it's not negative, it's actually the opposite. It's developing him, but it's demanding a lot more stress, power, ambition, fuel. And of course, he's not just lying back on some leaf and eating his banana. What all his monkeys, female monkeys, are bringing him. But he feels that he's always missing something, lacking something. And this lacking is the force that develops him. He's not guilty of it. He himself apparently is shaping this development force inside him through nature. But still, we call this force of development that's developing in an unbalanced manner with the positive force inside this monkey, that same force precisely we call the human. It doesn't matter to us the external force of the monkey, that through this he receives an urge to use vessels, tools. He gets more of a brain. He suddenly discovers what fire is, how much it can be advantageous for him. He begins to know food that he didn't know before. Throughout time, he reaches a state where he doesn't only want to gather all kinds of fruit from the trees and to look for mushrooms, etc. He wants all his food to also be in his control. So he makes up agriculture. He begins to control animals. Next to him, there's dogs and cows, sheep, goats, etc. He begins to supply him to himself a great security, to not be dependent on all the other forces in nature. His ego, this negative force that's developing him, is pushing him forward. The only problem is that along with that, that this force is not in balance with positive forces. And therefore, he's not in harmony with the general nature. He's not in harmony with other monkeys, with flocks, tribes that are suddenly developing, with nations. And until up to this day, actually, this monkey that developed and is called a man is managed by one force. And that same force is just directing him onward to develop. And the development, therefore, is always in a struggle and not in completion. He's not completing himself with the general nature. And of course, he's not completing himself with the species and other forces, with the inanimate, vegetative, animate, and the human species, that everyone's in a struggle. Everyone's in a struggle for survival, to control others, and this is how it is until this day. Can I ask something? Let's do a brief summary of what I understood, that you explained that force of nature that was in balance at first, there was plus and minus to the same extent, so there was balance. This balanced state was in all parts of nature. all degrees, and also what they had at the time, the monkey, the prehistoric man. And then at a certain point, this force added minus to that monkey, and that gap, you called it the force of the ego, the force developing us, that advances us. That's where the transition from monkey to man. And from here, this negative force is continuing to complete itself. That's the principle. Let's go back to the story. This force, it's not looking for completion. It's in a struggle. It's in a struggle only to control. It's in a struggle only to fill itself. The completion with nature, in subconsciously, they want to reach that Garden of Eden, but another type of Garden of Eden, which is actually the opposite of the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden that we were in, until the person in us developed, because the moment that he got this negative desire, he stopped feeling himself in balance. And then he was sent out of the Garden of Eden. This force that began to see the world, it saw the world, that the world is at his disposal in order to use it, in order to take advantage of it, only in the form of control, not completion. In other words, I'm going and I'm eating, drinking, receiving, sucking, filling myself with everything that's in front of me in order to calm this negative force inside me. But I'm not capable of doing this. I can't calm it down. He's always developing. Therefore, it's called creation. It's always developing and pushing me forward. That's why it's called an instinct, sorry. It's pushing me to fill it more and more with all kinds of, in all kinds of forms of filling. And I am never calm. And truly, it's not in a direction of completion like in the Garden of Eden, because I'm not yearning to balance this negative force with the positive force. In other words, this minus force is just going up higher and higher, and the gap is growing. That's the process, yes. There's a verse in Bereshit that he says he created man in his like him, meaning a person is that same creation in his image, sorry, that man is includes in himself two forces that manage his body, an additional force above the monkey, above the body, that's the negative force. This force is not balanced. And this force is truly the opposite force from nature. Nature is entirely a positive force. The power of bestowal, of giving, of loving. And he created everything in the form of this negative and force, the positive and negative force that are in balance all together, all the time, from the simple particles all the way up to men. To the first man, let's say the first man, but it's still in this man, these two forces, plus and minus, were in balance. And then minus part began to develop onward more and more. The force to acquire, to fill, to control, lust, jealousy, control over others. All the forms of this negative force, in order to give man, at the end of his negative development, an understanding that he must complete himself, not by filling this negative force all the time, but rather that it has to be completed with a positive force, with the force of nature truly, with the force of divinity. This decision to complete himself with the positive force and bring himself to that same balance that exists in all forms of nature except man, this decision has to be from man himself, and against the negative force that always wants to acquire more and more. In other words, a person has, in addition to the negative force, systems of thought, feeling that developed in an opposite manner to nature, balanced nature, and this opposite force is called in his image, in God's image, he created man, opposite, shadow, tzel. And then man needs to complete himself, he needs to search how to complete himself, and this form he gradually reaches through the development of the negative force, and the negative force itself develops up to an extent that it develops man to all kinds of types of filling himself, but at the end of the day a person gives up. He sees that in that he will never be happy. There's the aspect of filling a desire, and apart from that, in the state of filling to enjoy the filling. These are two things that are connected to one another and dependent on one another, but do not necessarily complete one another. I can get everything I want, but still not be. I still won't feel the filling. I won't feel joy. I won't feel alive, because in the development of the force of reception inside me, this bad force that's always pushing me more and more, I see that I'm suffering each time more to attain a filling from the filling itself, that I'm receiving, that I receive some type of pleasure. Apart from that, I begin to be dependent on others, and this is a very big problem, that I'm not living in nature and using nature how I feel like. I'm among other, like today, I'm among 7 billion developed monkeys, and then I'm dependent on them. And no one wants to just be good to others, to complete others. We don't belong to one flock. No one feels that they need to compromise to connect, but rather we make all kinds of connections between us to all kinds of flocks, groups, nations, countries. But all the agreements that we make, it's all temporary and only for the sake of profiting in some manner, slightly more than the previous form. And then it turns out that I will never be complete. And each time I'm yearning more and more for perfection, but I can't attain it because I'm building my future along with others, and each one of us is an egoist. And it turns out that we're trying in our society, in human society, to build ourselves in a connected manner, but we have opposite interests, because actually I don't really want to be connected or dependent on others. I don't want to even be with them in some type of single system. I want to control. They live, they die, they exist or not, and in what form? In accordance with, to the extent that I feel a need for them. And this is according to the desired. But what's actually happening, I can't behave like this, and therefore I'm building these artificial systems of connections with them that are always confusing me and are only bringing me a feeling of trouble and limitations. And it turns out that in this manner, in order to even exist, I need to invest a lot of forces in the system of connection between us. That even just like that, with that same monkey that there was once upon a time, or a person from previous prehistoric times that lived on his land with his family, with his primitive agriculture and a few cows, goats, etc., he was somehow happy in life. His desire wasn't so developed. His ego wasn't so developed. He was dependent on others. Others were dependent on him. Somehow, if they needed a tailor or a welder, it didn't limit him in any way. They would complete one another. I give you this, you give me that. Go make money from one another. It wouldn't take a lot of effort to be in systems, in such systems, to be in contact. Just the opposite. Until a certain point in history, we were relatively in completion, in mutual completion with one another. And it was only really a few hundred years ago that we began to connect in such systems, communication systems that are already apparently taking a lot of energy from us in order to be in some type of, to have some type of result more or less correct, that is correct for our existence. And here a person begins to feel how much he's getting into a situation, into a dead end. In other words, this negative force, it reached the end of development, and it's showing us to what extent By filling it, no matter how many systems we build, we'll always be missing attaining life, attaining our existence, compared to that farmer that's working on his piece of land. Attaining existence now will cost us much more than life itself. I'd rather die than live, actually. And therefore, we've reached a situation that is the opposite of the Garden of Eden. That we exist, we don't know why. We're beginning to ask questions precisely about this single force, this negative force that's developing, because it doesn't know how to balance itself. And then we ask, what's the point of this life? What's happening here? And that's the situation humanity is in. Inside the system that you described, I want to go back to the story. We see that at a certain point, the system of forces that you described, the woman is added as well. In other words, as long as the description was of a person, and then there's a certain point where God says, let's make him a helpmate. It's not good for a man to be alone. Let's make him a helpmate. A person is balanced, and the force that takes him out of balance is a woman. And then it turns out that there's, since then, there's two forces. But the negative force is controlling. The negative force is controlling. Why does the woman get him out of balance? Because she symbolizes the force of reception, the minus force, that negative force, the ego force, the negative force, that's the woman. Yes, a desire to enjoy beyond what balance allows me. This is called the evil inclination because it causes lack of balance in our life. In other words, organize this for me. I'm a woman, he's a man, but you're talking about one person. I'm not talking about a woman and a man physiologically. I'm talking about forces. So you mean in each of us, doesn't matter if we're a woman or a man, there's the minus force and the plus force. In this system, there's a real star that comes in between the man and woman, and that's the snake. What's the role of the snake? What kind of force is this? What does he do? Why is he cheating them? He's doing something there. It's the minus and plus forces in a man, and it was balanced. And a person felt that they were in the Garden of Eden. That's called balanced forces. And when the negative force was revealed, this additional force that's called a snake, this negative force is very sneaky, very sophisticated, knows how to take advantage, to profit, to succeed, knows how to win. So this force was added to this balance system and caused the negative force to be greater. And what's special about it is not that it's greater, that he's developing. And in his development, he's bringing us throughout history to an insufferable stage. And that's the snake's role. Therefore, it's called a helpmate. The woman or the snake? It's one and the same. The woman, after the negative force was revealed, then it connected to the part that's called a woman. Wait, I'm a bit confused. From the beginning, there's a threesome. There's a man, a woman, and a snake. I'm talking about the system of two forces, not bodies. These two forces are called together when they're balanced a man. What's the difference between a man and a monkey? In a man, immediately, From the moment we differentiate him from the monkey, we see he has potential to develop. Through increasing the negative force by receiving this lack of balance. Imagine if there were all kinds of monkeys throughout the planet, and suddenly in a single monkey, there are a group of monkeys, they began to develop a negative force that everyone wanted to acquire, to conquer, to do more than the balance would allow them previously. It's as if they got out of balance. There was some breakthrough from the general law of nature where everything has to be in balance. This breakout is done by the snake. Yes, it's the snake. So a person is a system that has forces, positive and negative forces, is completing each other and in harmony inside. And there's the male force and the female force. Then the system is in balance until the snake comes. He does some special mutation. This negative force, when it began to develop, without any control, without any understanding or awareness, suddenly I want this, I want this, I go nuts. That's called the snake attracting the woman. Yes, the negative force is the female force. The snake is added to the negative force, to the force of reception. The force of reception starts to grow in relative way to the force of bestowal. Well, the snake is promising what? He's promising to enjoy life more. How? If I want more, if I receive what I want to receive, then I'll enjoy life more. That's what the snake is saying. In our store, he's enticing the woman to eat from the tree of wisdom. That's first and foremost, that I begin to understand and feel more. I began to see from one end of the world to the other, like a man compared to a monkey. I go develop my life. I want a castle instead of some place on a tree. I want to have warehouses instead of some banana, or instead of finding some mango or some other fruit. I want to have many beautiful female monkeys around me and not this crappy single one. I want more and more and more food, sex, family. Then the development comes to money, control, intelligence. This is development up till this day. There's no end to it. There's no limit. And I develop because I feel that I can have larger and larger desires, urges that are greater and greater, and to keep filling them. And then in these growing instincts and their filling, I'm a developing person. So on the one hand, there's this instinct that's the snake developing me. And on the other hand, there's the... You explained to us that you said the snake in me that's developing now, the left side, to acquire, to buy, to do something, is demanding from me the development of wisdom. In other words, how to acquire more, and that's why it's called Etz Hadat. On the one hand, there's good. It's called the tree of knowledge. On the one hand, there's good. On the one hand, there's bad. There's behavior where I'm always in a struggle. I don't want to say anything to not get messed up. Then I'll have to speak for a few more hours, and then it'll be... And then I'll end up losing out. So let's say truly that a person develops through the snake, that evil force, that poison we have inside us, until we discover that we must, because there's no choice. We understand there's no choice. We need to reach balance. And now we're in that situation that we're beginning to, all the wise ones in the world, all the smart ones that are smart at night, we don't understand, we don't know where we're developing, etc., but we're beginning to discover from all this bitterness of our life that we wanted, that we always wanted to reach the Garden of Eden. But the Garden of Eden, we describe to ourselves as the eternal filling. That a person lives for many years, that a person is always filling himself, a person enjoys each and everything in life, his work, he even enjoys and vacation, freedom. He's not dependent on others. He's free. We see that it's not attainable because we're more and more connected to one another. We can develop more and want more. We don't want to develop. We don't care. Humanity is so desperate. There's substance abuse, etc., etc. So we can develop a nice family and see kids and grandchildren, but we don't even have a desire for those things. I don't want kids, grandchildren, or anything. To make a long story short, development suddenly began, how can we put it? Suddenly began to descend, and the evil inclination in this negative force, this force that's pushing us forward, and this evil recognition of evil begins to be more common among more and more people, and we reach a situation where we have to do an accounting of ourselves. So what do we do? That's the place that we're at right now. If we look at the perspective of creation on all of reality, we're missing this positive force to balance out this great negative force that has developed to very big, and then we will truly theoretically reach the Garden of Eden to a new beautiful standard where we'll truly be able to feel ourselves happy, beautiful, good. The question is, how can we acquire this positive force that balances us? And here we truly discover, by beginning to feel ourselves connected between us, in the integral world, in the global world, connected, that we can truly, through the connection between us, discover the positive force. If we begin to connect despite the feeling of rejection, and it's not even really rejection because we've given up. We don't want to use it. We see to what extent it's destroying us. It's not allowing us to enjoy, that it's really the snake. The snake is always enticing, enticing. And then afterward, bites and kills us. So we're starting to get more brains. We see creation. We especially see from the blows of nature, ecology, from interdependence, or interdependence in the general nature, the 4 degrees, that if we don't reach balance, we will cease to exist. And here we need to do an accounting. And apparently, in the plan of nature, this is how it was planned from the beginning, that we need to reach the awareness of our evil and to be imbalanced. And then from this recognition, we need to reach the correct decision to reach balance, but by our own. And to complete this snake, this shadow to complete it in a good way, with a positive force that we get from the connection between us. If we now will begin to reach connection, you can call it socialism or communism or all kinds of names, the global kibbutz, it doesn't matter what, including Kfar Kirsten. Yes, but I'm saying you can call it all kinds of things, but we need to look and find this new form in which we're not just creating a society, but the main thing is, and this is what they didn't look for and didn't find, the force, the positive force that will balance the negative force. Where is this positive force in the connection between us? Truly in the center of the connection. Let's say we're all in a circle. We want to be rounder. We want to be connected. We want to be like good kids in a circle. We want to find in the center of our circle that same positive force. We're prepared to give up something to sit in the circle, to feel that we are round, because this is what nature is pushing us all toward in an integral connection. And then through the correct correction between us, we need to find the positive force, and we'll find it. We'll find it. It's there. It just depends how much we will dedicate our mind and heart to these processes. And we need to develop a system and know how to pick it up to the same level as the negative force. And then we return to the Garden of Eden. I want one last question, if you can summarize the things you taught us today. We're talking about the fact that our life, at the end of the day, comes down to connection, good connection between us or bad connection between us, which is actually the foundation. Like it either takes us to perfection or it either takes us to a place of separation. How can this insight of the Garden of Eden being in the completion between us connected to the model that you're presenting, a new model for society where we aspire to feel like one family? Many times I heard you say that the perfect, harmonious Garden of Eden life is perfection. Why the feeling that we're like one family is the Garden of Eden that we're dreaming about? Because in a family, we're all equal. In a family, there's no more or less. There's no sick and healthy. Everyone talks about the family as one body. Everyone feels complete interdependence, like in the integral system, in the analog system. We see like in the body, if there's something wrong with the body, it's called a disease, and then the whole body feels it. But we don't really feel in our brain and feelings, but the system is alive, it feels it. And therefore, family is at the degree of man. Man is an expression of the connected mutual system and mutual responsibility, in mutual love and completion. This is what we call it. We're beginning to discover that apart from that, in this completion, nature wants to lead us to a higher degree, not just to balance, not for us just to be like monkeys that are organized in life, but rather will acquire a higher degree that is actually called a man, because the man that was back there was just the beginning of man, but the balanced man, balanced human being, the true man that found this completion, that he himself apparently built himself, in this he feels and understands all of nature completely. And in that, he's actually filling himself with the feeling of eternal filling. This is the Garden of Eden. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. We're returning to the Garden of Eden. All the best, new life.